You're listening to Kyle Warren.
I don't think Biden's speech was the greatest since FDR. I don't think there wasn't really anything about it that reminded me of FDR, other than the idea of big government programs, lots and lots of spending. But FDR, really? No, I don't think so. I think that was probably just written ahead of time. It was the, okay, look, the speech is going to happen. No matter what, after the speech, we're all going to sit around and talk about how it was Rooseveltian. That's what we're going to do. But I got to tell you, I watched the speech. It was he was no FDR. Stay with us, folks. All right, welcome everyone around the globe and across the net. It is the Friday/weekend edition. That's right, folks. It's the day of the week when we keep you entertained and informed a little bit more than we do throughout the rest of the week, if that's even humanly possible. And as always, we do our level best to send you off into your weekend with a smile. Oh, thank you very much. A singing host making his contractually mandated and obligatory appearance here on the program. Folks, it is the Friday/weekend edition. What a week it's been, of course. We're going to talk about the speech. We've got other things to tell you about. By the way, President Biden is going to do something in 5 days. He told a group of hecklers at a speech in Georgia, which he evidently traveled all the way there to have a conversation from the podium with the hecklers. But he told him he's going to do something in 5 days. So we'll play the clip for you, and you can help decipher what it is Joe Biden is going to be doing, evidently, in 5 days. But he's the president, and when he says it, you know, people have got to be scrambling at this point. What is he going to do? He's going to do something. He's going to do something in 5 days. And nobody told Joe what he was going to do in 5 days. So I don't know what's going to be. But no, you'll hear the clip, and we'll try to decipher it. Okay, well, once again, folks, welcome to the program. It is the Friday/weekend edition. It is a Friday, April the 30th, 2021. And boy, do we have an awful lot to tell you about on the program today. And of course, quick program note, I'll be a guest later on this evening on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program with Salem host Captain Matt Bruce. And of course, that's the Captain's own weekend edition of the program as well. And so we're looking forward to that. All that happens at 11:05 p.m. Pacific, 2:05 a.m. Eastern Time. Simply go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There we have links where you can listen live to the Captain's flagship station of AM 860, The Answer, right there in Tampa, Florida, as the program goes out along the Salem Media Group of stations, also along the GCN network as well. The Captain and I will have a complete wrap-up of all of the day's significant events, news stories that you might not be hearing about, by the way, in the mainstream media, and the Captain and I will have all of that this evening on the program, so we'll look forward to seeing you on the radio tonight, and thanks once again for listening to this program today, or whenever you're hearing it over the weekend. Okay, so let's start. Well, actually, I'm going to start with this. Then we're going to get to Biden's speech in Georgia, where he talked kind of, I guess, with the hecklers off camera. But this first from Newsmax, I thought this was significant. According to a latest poll, Biden is less popular than police and law enforcement agencies. So this caught my eye. President Joe Biden is less popular than police and law enforcement agencies and more popular than Major League Baseball. Okay, according to a poll released April 25th by NBC. The president notched a 50% total positivity rate compared to 58% for police and law enforcement agencies and 34% for MLB, which last month opted to move its All-Star game and draft out of Georgia in protest of the state's new election law. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, as people do this listen to this program, listen to the Captain's America as well, you know that I'm a baseball fan. I love the game of baseball, and I want to say I think that a lot of this latest dust up has to do, obviously, with the MLB administration, but not necessarily the players. And I think that that's an important distinction until we hear differently from individual players. But I do think the players want to get back and have gotten back to playing, but I think they've been very excited to get back to playing. I think a lot of the fans have been very excited to get back to seeing the games in person. And I think that it is a damn shame that baseball has been politicized so much, and basically, as I said, the top level of the MLB has decided to go down this road, because I think that with baseball being America's favorite pastime, a good unifying force in our society, something a lot of people can just enjoy, sit back and enjoy. I think it's a real sad thing. But I do hope that things can turn around for the MLB. And once again, it's good to see the players be able to get out there and do their thing and be able to excel and just show off the talents that they have and bring a lot of happiness to a lot of people. But getting back to this article, law enforcement agencies have been under scrutiny amid a string of fatal police shootings, highlighted last week by the conviction of former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin in the murder of George Floyd. Let's see. The Justice Department said last week it was opening a sweeping police investigation of policing practices in Minneapolis. The poll conducted April 17th to 20 also found former President Donald Trump notched a 32% total positivity rate compared with a 55% negative rate. 58% of Americans say their bigger concern when it comes to voting is, quote, making sure that everyone who wants to vote can do so, which includes 87% of Democrats and 65% of independents. 38% say they are most concerned about making sure that no one votes who is not eligible to vote. More than three quarters of Republicans, 77%, agree. But getting back to, and by the way, you know, we should be able to vote. Eligible voters should be able to vote. And in this country, we can do all kinds of things, and we have done all kinds of things to make that as easy as possible. And at the same time, people also have to have responsibility to vote. They have to be able to register to vote. They have to be able to go and vote or vote by absentee, but go through the actual process. They have to be verified. You can't have just voting that goes on in many ways that we saw in this last election cycle, because then we can't really trust the actual process or the results. And that undermines our system. It doesn't build it up. It undermines it. But it's interesting that Joe Biden is actually less popular than police. I don't know. Many in the media have got to start working overtime again on trying to make the police look bad, because it'll help Joe Biden.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country, helping you to navigate the complex VA system free of charge. With new presumptions for Agent Orange exposure and other conditions, AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all of your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit amvets.org.
Hey, I'm going out to buy those shelves for the closet.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
Honey, I love you, but 800 more flowers? You'll give the neighbors a real reason to think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright a bulb is. Our 60-watt bulbs give off about 800 lumens. We can replace them with new 800 lumen bulbs. Bulbs just as bright that use much less energy.
So, we'll save money.
Yes, and we can use that money to increase my allowance.
Right. Wise guy.
Worth a try.
So, you got that?
Got it. No tulips, no watts, 800 lumens, and more savings.
He got it.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
After a long, hard day in the rough and tumble world of politics, Open a tall, cool Kyle Warren show. Ah, that crisp, refreshing taste. That smooth style. That effervescing attitude. And without all that other stuff that can, well, bog you down. Helping to put back what the daily media assault takes away, listen to The Kyle Warren Show weekdays right here on this station and visit the website at kylewarrenshow.com.
I'm Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook. Class is in session with the professor of politics, Kyle Warren.
Yes, it is. And thank you very much, Mr. Ron Edwards, for that liner. We'll hear from the Edwards Notebook here in just a little bit. And folks, once again, thanks for listening to the program. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the program. Simply go to kylewarrenshow.com. You can also go to our podcast home at kylewarrenshow.podbean.com. And also, welcome to everybody listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Republic, and a host of others. We keep going up and up and up, just like the music is doing right there. And we have you to thank for that. Absolutely, we have you to thank for that. And we want to take time to do so on the program as often as possible. And if you're new here to the program, and if you like what we do ask that you consider sharing the program on your social media, also subscribing to the program and telling your friends about it any way that you can. Once again, welcome back to the show. So we do have an awful lot more to tell you about on the program today. Let's listen in here real briefly to Joe Biden. This is down in Georgia where he went to give a speech following his State of the Union. I guess the quote unquote, that's not a State of the Union, but it was like, you know, it was the thing, you know, the thing. And, you know, his speech to the joint session of Congress, sort of. There weren't many people there, even though. And again, you know what's what people are asking me about? They're telling me about why did everybody in the chamber the other night have masks on? Haven't they all been vaccinated? And I say, yes, of course they've all been vaccinated. But yet they've all got the masks on and everything. And a lot of that, again, is just, you know, I guess they will tell you, well, we're trying to set a good example and so forth. But in reality, don't you think that what it could also be doing is to give a notion that, wait a minute, if we've all been vaccinated and we're 6 feet apart, and by the way, don't you think that the United States Capitol and the House Chamber and so forth, don't you think they will have the most hellaciously great filtration systems there? I would think they're probably second to none. And, you know, you would think that fully vaccinated individuals could go into that place practicing their social distancing and still be fine and not have to wear a mask. And that would provide at least some kind of normalcy, projection of some kind of normalcy to the American people. It begs the question, well, why don't we want to have a projection of normalcy to the American people? I'm not saying be unsafe. I'm not saying be reckless. I'm not saying all these things. But goodness gracious me, it seems to be not even really in line with the CDC. And even Biden outside, if he's got his mask on, it's like, well, wait a minute, the CDC is saying this. So, you know, and I'll say this just in jest, but do they know something we don't know? I mean, what's going on? In other words, you're feeding this thing where people are not going to want to go to get vaccinated. Number one, some people have concerns and they voice them. About 1 in 5 people in the United States have questions about the development of the vaccine and this kind of thing. And then you have others that might say to themselves, well, I mean, if I get vaccinated, I still see Joe Biden, everybody else wearing a mask. So how's my life going to, is it going to get more normal? You seem to be showing me that it won't get more normal. That's what they're thinking out there. Now I've gotten my first shot. I get my second shot here as we go through next week. A lot of people I know have gotten their first and or second shots already if they're doing the two-shot version. And so it goes from there. And I think that Joe Biden and the rest of them, they're actually, you know, creating, perpetuating these problems, evidently, or these perceptions, I should say. So that's very, very important, I think. But Joe Biden went to Georgia after the speech, where he's going out again, really to kind of try to sell all this stuff. And by the way, when you're trying to sell big government socialism, you know, that's a hard sell. Yes, I know a lot of younger people might be more on board to begin with. And that's to be expected. Some of these things in the education system, both at the public school level and higher education as well. So that's to be expected. And we're working on that, obviously, trying to counter a lot of those misnomers about how wonderful socialism can really be, or how wonderful it would be if we were just all full communists. You know, it's out there. It's out there. It's hard to believe, but it's out there. And years ago, right, if someone came out and said, look, I'm a full communist, that's what I want, everybody would say, well, oh no, okay, all right, you know, a little wacky. But now, of course, they're trying to make it mainstream. How do we know it's really becoming more mainstream? Well, look at Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders lauded the Soviet Union. I always thought his goose was cooked because of that, but actually it got him more support, evidently. So it's a very, very strange, but we have to counter that as best as we can with ideas. That's what we do. So let's listen to Joe Biden. He's talking along, and then there are hecklers, which want to get people out of detention centers, from what we can tell. But listen to Joe Biden here. Let's listen in. Oh, that's not it. We got to make sure that's running correctly there. Okay, let's try again. Joe Biden. And here he is.
First of all, I want to thank you, the people of Georgia. We'll give you a microphone. Folks,
what?
Georgia was 100 days ago today when I was inaugurated on the steps of the United States Capitol to be your president. And I was looking forward to coming back and seeing these guys.
And they're still going.
I agree with you. I'm working on it, man. Give me another 5 days.
He's going to do something in 5 days now, evidently. Something.
Folks, y'all know what they're talking about. There should be no private prisons, period. None, period. That's what they're talking about. Private detention centers. They should not exist. And we are working to close all of them. So, folks, look.
Okay, we got to stop right there because it keeps going. It keeps going. And so, again, he's going to do some. Give me 5 days. But some were shouting abolish ICE, right? So then he comes back and starts talking about private prisons and this kind of thing. Communities, not prisons, or what the protesters were chanting there. But they obviously took control of the conversation. Here you have the president of the United States now conversing with the people who are disrupting his speech, screaming at the top of their lungs. This is not good. This is just not good. And especially if somehow now, if you go to a Biden speech and scream and scream and scream, you can dominate policy, or you can dictate policy, or you can fluster him so badly. And I think this is key. You can fluster him so badly that, he's going to say something off script. He's going to say something off the cuff. And I can't imagine how people might be scrambling behind the scenes. Now, it may be something that, well, he does really think that you're going to close all, you know, private prisons or what have you. But when you seem to be starting to align with hecklers, essentially, then that kind of diminishes the weight when you speak and when you're talking, when you go somewhere to tell the American people your thoughts. Obviously, well, you say, well, you should be listening too. But there are times to listen, and there are times when, you know, I guess you can cheer and they honk, honk, honk. I guess we hear back in the background there. But got to tell you, this is not a good look for the president of the United States. So no matter what, they took control. They had President Biden sort of flustered and kind of like what happened when he finished his speech. He was looking at I don't think it was the same venue. But he was looking for his mask, and he looked like he got pretty upset, not knowing what happened to his mask. And of course, it was right there on the shelf in the podium. But I think this has been a pretty taxing week for President Joe Biden. Don't say that with any joy. I think it just simply shows, again, a lot of what he's going through. All right,
you're
stay right there.
Kyle Warren.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. A short timeout, then back with more, so stay right there. Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. Stay tuned for the Edwards Notebook right here on The Kyle Warren Show.
According to popular legend, Founding Father John Hancock signed his name in huge letters to the Declaration of Independence so King George could read it without spectacles. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, in the fight for liberty today, many so-called conservatives in the legislative branch have often either chosen to either give up or give lip service without following up with physical service on behalf of our unalienable rights, including the right to defend oneself, their family, or property. Many Republicans went AWOL during the successful Trump presidency. They wanted to compromise with the Democrats, whose overall mission is to literally destroy our republic to the point of no return to greatness. Through the years, Republican individuals like Trey Gowdy said the right things, but were useless in the effort to stem the tide against tyranny. Even worse were individuals like Liz Cheney, whose globalist leanings prompted her to join Democrats in spreading a malicious lie, accusing Russian dictator Vladimir Putin of paying Taliban terrorists to seek and destroy U.S. soldiers. For the good of the republic, legislators who refuse to govern according to constitutional mandates should be permanently banned from public office. What say you? I'm Ron Edwards. Check out the RonEdwards.com.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Listening to Kyle Warren.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Welcome back as we continue racing through and rocketing through this Friday / weekend edition. Hope that your weekend is going well. Hope that you have some great plans, that you're having some fun, relaxing. Hopefully, if you're working, we're right there along with you. Hope you're listening while you're working. And don't forget, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can listen to the program. You can also subscribe. You can find me on Facebook. We're on Parler as well. And you can also send me a message. That and much, much more right there at KyleWarrenShow.com. Okay, so there's something I just saw here. Let me find out exactly what this is, because right when we're coming back, I see this. This from KCBS. Governor Newsom remains confident California will hit the June 15th mark for reopening the economy. The governor pointed to the state having the lowest positivity and case rates in the country, as well as ongoing vaccination efforts, as signs of continued progress. By the way, Governor Newsom is absolutely terrified of the recall. That is now, as many of you know, it's an official thing. It's moving forward. He was out touting some kind of tax cuts on small businesses. He went around touring some of these particular restaurant, I think, in a city called San Fernando. And of course, the problem is you got to find restaurants that are still really okay. You got to find people who are still able to open their business. You have to try to get them to understand or believe you when you say, look, you know, we know we had to shut you down and all this kind of thing, but people, they remember. And they're not happy about this. They don't believe, by and large, that Newsom was simply, quote, following the science in a lot of these California shutdowns. And you can say he was and so forth, but I think the prevailing thought out there is that, look at other states that did not go the route that Newsom went, and they seem to have emerged much better in by many different metrics and so forth. This recall is not just a Republican recall of a bunch of QAnon Trump supporters or something, the way that they're trying to portray it. This is folks across the highways and byways of the state. These are Republicans. These are Democrats. These are independents. These are people who have just seen what's happened to California over the last now a little bit more than a year, and they realize that it has gotten so bad and people have left the state. In fact, cumulatively through all these kinds of policies that we've seen, people have left the state so much so that we lost a congressional seat as a result of that through the census. So it's not looking good for California. If we don't get reopened by June the 15th, and hopefully that's on track, that's going to be an even bigger blow. But let's just say we do get reopened on June the 15th. I don't know that that's going to mean that, well, that's it. You know, Gavin Newsom, he's got the recall in the bag now. No problem there. No, I don't think so at all. I think that it's going to be an arduous uphill climb for him to really beat this thing. Well, some would say, well, they're just more Democrats than Republicans. But that's not where the issue is now. Yes, there are more Democrats than Republicans in California. But I think if you have the right candidate, and whomever that might be, I don't know who's going to really emerge as the big candidate here. In terms of the people who've already declared, and how all this is going to pan out as we go through the summertime here, obviously. So we're watching it very closely, but because of what's happened to California, it may transcend a lot of the just strictly partisan, who are you registered as, whether or not Newsom wins or, you know, walks to victory or is recalled. So stay tuned. Okay, well, folks, as is our Friday/weekend edition tradition, let's listen in to some of my appearance from earlier this morning on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program. Without further ado, take it away, Captain.
We emphasize those two words, ladies and gentlemen, under God, because our great country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and we won't let you forget that. Now, speaking of which, Kyle, something tragic has happened in Israel. I've heard about this happening with the Arabs when they go off on their holy days to these big meetings that they have or whatnot, religious encounters. But we've had something similar to that happen with a bunch of Jewish religious folks in Israel. Is that correct?
Yes, Captain. We're getting some very, very sad news coming out of Israel tonight, northern Israel. The death toll, from what we understand, ranges perhaps from 40 to 44. We've seen two different reports about this. But this has to do with a particular religious ceremony, a gathering typically attended by ultra-Orthodox Jews to commemorate the burial place of a second-century rabbi. Typically what happens there is they make bonfires and so forth as part of their celebration and remembrance. Well, it's not clear yet as to what exactly caused the event to happen in terms of what is being described as a stampede, but something happened, and we understand that scores of people have been hurt, at least 40, and as I said, another report says 44 people were killed as a result of this being described as a stampede. So we're getting more information about it, even Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calling it a great tragedy, of course, at this hour. And so very, very unfortunate news coming out from our friends in northern Israel tonight.
So then these people were obviously trampled to death.
That would be exactly what it seems to be.
That happens. That happens all the time at the Arab events, the Islamic events. But first time I've heard about this happening in Israel. All right, well, let's move along and get something a little bit more exciting for the folks. Last night was the day number one of the NFL draft, and the number one player to be picked in the NFL draft was who, Kyle?
Who was that?
You don't know?
I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
And he went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where our former head coach, Urban Meyer, is going from the Gators, is going to be the head coach there, former national championship coach at the Florida Gators as well as Ohio State. And he's now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he chose Trevor Lawrence as his number one pick and quarterback. So he would obviously become the franchise quarterback from South Carolina. And they're obviously... or was it Clemson? Well, it doesn't matter. But up in the state of South Carolina. So he's going to be a big draw for people coming from that area for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Jacksonville Jaguars did something else yesterday. They tried out a very, very famous name in Florida football at a different position. Do you know who it was?
Who was that?
Tim Tebow. Brought him in and gave him a tryout at tight end. Now, he's 6'3", goes 230-some-odd pounds, so he could still play that position if he wanted to. But if you put Tim Tebow on the same team with Trevor Lawrence, you're obviously trying to sell tickets and put people in the stands.
Well, exactly right. And, of course, Tim Tebow has shown that he's very, very talented at what he goes out to do. So you're right, could be a pretty good combination. I also understand, Captain, I think, didn't the NFL draft have a large gathering of people that we would not have seen under typical, quote-unquote, COVID conditions?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the other thing is more good news is that two more states yesterday dropped their mandatory face mask ban, and one more state went to more people in the stands at the professional and college sporting events. They're up to half capacity versus where they were at with the 10 or 15,000 or whatever the heck it was they were doing before. And you can see that things are moving along quite nicely, even though if you listen to the doom and gloom from Joe Biden, who gave such a passionate speech, and it was so from the heart. And it was so wonderful. I heard that. It just made me sick because Joe Biden is a pathological liar and has been for at least the 50 years or so that he's been in politics. You can't believe what the guy says. All right. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back. You think I'm exaggerating? Go look him up. Go look him up under anything you want to look it up as. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch, heard live right here on this station from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, overnight Monday through Saturday. Call 877-969-8600 and tell us what's on your mind.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What will you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
In sports, 5 games were featured in hockey action last week.
Every year, millions of people rely on portable generators when they lose access to electricity. But some of them don't understand that a portable generator's carbon monoxide emissions can kill if their generators are used indoors. So we're here to clear the air. Always take your generator outside, away from windows and doors. When you take it outside, you distance yourself from the dangers of carbon monoxide. For more safety tips, visit TakeYourGeneratorOutside.com.
Have you saved a life today?
We organize a blood drive at our school.
My blood type is O.
They really need that.
Have you saved a life today?
I have cancer, but I make sure all my friends know how important it is to give blood.
My blood helps heart patients or accident victims.
Have you saved a life today?
No, but today, someone's blood saved my son.
The American Red Cross. Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. I'd like to hear from you about the things we're talking about on the program. Go to KyleWarrenShow.com, click on Send Kyle a Message, or send it to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/KyleWarrenShow.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
And welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Welcome back as we continue to race through and rocket through this Friday/weekend edition of the program. And without further ado, let's get right back to my appearance from earlier this morning on the Captain's America radio program, the Captain's America Third Watch, the fastest growing overnight radio program in America. Take it away, Captain.
This is Kyle Warren, the professor of politics, and you're listening to the fastest growing overnight radio program in America, The Captain's America, Third Watch, with host Captain Matt Bruce. Call us now at 1-877-969-8600. Take it away, Captain.
Well, I think I will, Mr. Announcer Guy, soon to be back on the telephone with me. And by the way, that is Kyle Warren, and we thank him for doing that liner for us. Now, this part of the program brought to you by our friends at Relief Factor. I took a pack of Relief Factor just before I started the show here, about midnight, my time, a couple hours ago. And I take it because of the fact that I have inflammation that rears its ugly head when I least expect it in my left ankle and foot and leg. And then I have pain associated with that. So, this, with the ingredients that are in it, turmeric, resveratrol, icarin, and omega-3, helps to support the body's natural response to inflammation, and it just goes down. It just stops and goes down and goes back to where it's supposed to be when I take this. It takes about 30 minutes or so for it to react. Now, it will lower or eliminate pain by going straight to the source of the pain, too, which is great. Great, because I hate being in pain. I tolerate it, but I hate it. Now, it's 100% drug-free, which beats any other thing you have to take that's going to control your senses and this, that, and the other, because this is drug-free. And it's 100% botanical and fish oil product, too. Supports a healthy response to your body's healing process. Comes in little convenient individual packets that you can take. And it only costs, to get it started, the three-week quick start, $19.95. And believe me, it works, and it's worked for tens of thousands of people. There's not a day doesn't go by I don't hear from somebody that it's not working for, and they thank me for telling them about it. So, $19.95, the 3-week quick start gets it all going. Go to the website they gave me, relieffactor.com/captain, relieffactor.com/captain. That's relieffactor.com/captain. And don't forget to tell them the captain sent you, even though you're going to be going into the website portal that they gave me. All right, back to Kyle Warner, professor of politics. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Captain.
Before we get to the caller, I want to mention something about Tim Scott. Now, Tim Scott has become the star of the show with what he had to say with the GOP rebuttal. Is that a fair assumption?
No, I think you're right, yeah.
All right. Well, I want you to listen to what he had to say when he gave the response to Joe Biden talking about, well, America has to deal with systemic racism, and we have racist things, and it's terrible. Yeah, right, in his mind. Here's what Tim Scott had to say.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott used his Republican response to President Biden's address to Congress to vow that America is not a racist country.
Race is not a political weapon to settle every issue the way one side wants. It's far too important.
Senator Scott seized on Mr. Biden's call that passage of major police reform could help stamp out institutional racism nationwide. He's the lead GOP negotiator as the two parties seek an accord on legislation overhauling police procedures. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Now, one last thing, Kyle. The viewership is in for the presidential speech. You want to hear the numbers?
Oh, yeah.
11.6 million people watched the Biden speech to Congress, which was nearly 75% lower than President Trump's first joint speech to Congress in 2017 and is just barely 2.6 million numbers of million people higher in the U.S. for watching the Oscars. And by the way, the final tally worldwide for the Oscars was around 16 million.
You know, Captain, I can't imagine much more of a rebuke of what the Biden-Harris administration has been up to than that kind of low viewership. People have tuned out. They know exactly what Joe Biden's going to say and talk about. They know exactly what to expect, and they just didn't want to waste their time listening to it. I think that's the explanation.
The guy's been around for 50 years. Everybody knows what he stood for. We all know about the flip-flopping and the zigzagging and the lying about things. And by the way, in his speech, he also said, well, thank goodness that we developed Operation Warp Speed and it did this and did. Yeah, that was Donald Trump. In the meantime, let's go to the phone lines, and I believe we've got Todd in Tampa on the line, so take it away, Todd.
Let's get down to business. Leave our police alone. They're doing an outstanding job dealing with the dregs of society and putting their lives on the line for idiot Democrats like Joe Biden and the rest of them who got guns on their side at all times to protect them. Bunch of fake, phony hypocrites. Okay. No, let me say something. What does that tell you? What do those numbers just tell you? Okay. I'll just say it in a nice way. It tells you that Donald Trump on election night was victorious. Okay, I'll just say it that way nicely. Okay, 11. I've been to 9 Trump rallies. You can't get in the 50. The Donald could have sold out the Buckeye Stadium with 100,000 people if they put him in there. Okay, don't get me started on that. It's a nightmare. The Democrats are a nightmare. They're a disgrace. Who's the idiot that's letting COVID people come in our country with diseases at the border? Who's that? That's the Einstein White House. And let me tell this governor who's running this conservative in Virginia. Okay, I listened to the captain on election night at 8:23. Him and Bill Bunkley called Florida, and they never even put it on there. This guy's running against that idiot who wore blackface over there in Virginia, and you're gonna. But before they even put the numbers up, they called Virginia for. So you better watch out how they steal the election for you. Let's stand up for our country and stand up for our first responders and our cops who are putting their lives on the line with the dregs of society that no one wants to deal with, and that the Democrats are the first ones to call the police when they need them. Peace.
Okay. Very good. And he mentioned something about the police, Kyle, and I want to mention this because this just breaks my heart to have to mention this. But we talked about the incident yesterday in North Carolina involving the deputies, two of them that were shot.
Right, yes.
Well, yesterday before we went off the air, one of them died. Now both of the deputies that were shot were killed, and both of them died. However, when the SWAT teams went inside to where the 13-hour standoff took place, they found 3 other people dead inside.
Yes, that's right. There was a married couple found dead. The suspected gunman was also, I believe, found dead. And this all happened in Watauga County. And the sheriff's office, yes, confirming the deaths of the 2 deputies. And how very sad.
Yeah, and I watched them. The SWAT teams gathered together, shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm, and they were saying a prayer afterwards, and it was very heart-touching to see because, again, people, if you haven't been around the police or the firefighters or the EMS, it's a bond. It's a tremendous bond that's there because we all take the same risks, and we all work with each other. And that's why on this program you cannot, and we will not let you, say anything bad about the police on this show because blue lives matter. All lives matter. And we've got your 6 here on this program. Now, moving along, Kyle, of course, Senator Tim Scott responding to the stunning assault from the left. By the way, they were literally attacking on Twitter the color of his skin, calling him an Uncle Tom, and they let that stay up there for about 12 hours until somebody complained about it. I don't know if it was Scott or somebody else, and they took it down.
Right, yeah, they were all using things like Uncle Tim as well, which is an obvious play on the idea of Uncle Tom. And again, Captain, when you don't have the ideas on your side, when you can't have an actual debate, a real conversation about something, or talk about real things, you revert to this kind of literally racist name-calling. I mean, this is just exactly what it is. As of earlier today, I hadn't seen any major reaction from some of the different groups like BLM and so forth regarding this. Perhaps they'll speak out on it. I hope that they would, because again, this is not something that we want to see happening in the United States of America.
No, and the other thing is former Trump attorney, disgraced Trump attorney Michael Cohen, was quoted with saying Rudy Giuliani will flip on Trump in a heartbeat if they keep the pressure on him. That was came up from somewhere yesterday. I don't know who it was that said it, but I saw a published report about it. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Rudy Giuliani? Really? You don't know Rudy.
No, but, you know, this sounds like one of those things, Captain, where it's kind of like, you know, trying to get people to tune in or click or, you know, that kind of thing. Because it just seems kind of far-fetched, but it sounds like a hot news item if you say
it was that. I think it was the CNN or MSNBC. I just caught the tail end of it, and I haven't been able to find it since. So as fast as that got put up there, they took it down.
Yeah, and it's probably also wishful thinking on the part of many in the media or whomever's
done it. Now, here's something that's not wishful thinking, and you better be careful what you wish for when you do something like this. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Rudy Giuliani has a son named Andrew who we see a lot on Newsmax TV, correct?
Right, right.
Well, Andrew has announced he's going to run for governor in New York against Cuomo. And this probably aided the support for Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew, because that's the backlog of the positive thing for Giuliani, the negative thing for the FBI and for Governor Cuomo and the New York District Attorney and the New York Attorney General. All right, hold that thought. Folks, we're coming back with more on the Captain's America Third Watch right after this bottom of the hour break. Don't go anywhere. Ron Edwards is going to take us to break.
Hello, I'm Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook, and you're listening to the Captain, Matt Bruce, on America's Third Watch.
All right. Thank you so much, Captain Matt Bruce. Always a pleasure. Folks, thanks for listening today. We will see you on the radio tonight and right back here next time. Until then,
you're listening to Kyle Warren.
Take care out there.